Day 424, Wednesday, May 29th, 2 Kings 2 and 4, 2 Kings 8 1 to 6, 2 Kings 2 1 to 25 NKJV. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha, and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know, keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know, keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you, before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire, and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him, and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, "Look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send them." Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord sees, but the water is bad, and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl, and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water, and cast in the salt there, and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water, from it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha which he spoke. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him, and said to him, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head." So he turned around and looked at them, and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. 2 Kings 4:1-44 NKJV. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels, and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God, who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." So he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "About this time next year you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord. Man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But the woman conceived, and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband, and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." Then she saddled a donkey, and said to her servant, "Drive, and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed, and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her, and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me, and has not told me." So she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready, and take my staff in your hand, and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them, and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him, and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child, lying dead on his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then, the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on the large pot, and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds, and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened, as they were eating the stew, that they cried out and said, man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat it. So he said, then bring some flour. And he put it into the pot, and said, serve it to the people, that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Then a man came from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people, that they may eat. But his servant said, what, shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, give it to the people, that they may eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. 2 Kings 8:1-6 NKJV. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can. For the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass, at the end of 7 years, that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. Now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG reading plan states, Elijah's ascension to heaven, the incident in which Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind, verse 1, has many people convinced that we will go to heaven when we die. But John 3:13 clearly says that no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, referring to Jesus Christ. Therefore, Elijah could not have gone to heaven. How do we reconcile this apparent contradiction? The answer lies in the fact that the Bible speaks of more than one heaven. Indeed, of three. Scripture refers to the atmosphere of this earth, the sky, as heaven, Genesis 27:28. It speaks of the physical universe beyond as heaven, Psalm 8:3. And it speaks of God's dwelling place in the spirit realm as heaven, Revelation 4:1-3. It is from this third heaven, 2 Corinthians 12:2, the heaven of God's throne, that Christ came, and to which no other human being has ascended, John 3:13. Thus, Elijah did not go to the third heaven. So what happened to him? Where did he go? To help us understand, we need to know of other events that happened in Israel and Judah in the years following. Right at the time of Elijah's ascension, Jehoram became the new king of Israel. In the 18th year of Jehoshaphat of Judah and the second year of Jehoshaphat's son, whose name was also Jehoram, 2 Kings 1:17, 2 Kings 3:1, meaning there was an overlapping father-son reign over Judah at this time. In the fifth year of the reign of Israel's Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram became king over Judah, 2 Kings 8:16, that is, sole king following the death of Jehoshaphat. It was following the death of Jehoshaphat and becoming sole ruler that Jehoram of Judah, a wicked ruler, killed all his brothers, 2 Chronicles 21:14. Afterward, Jehoram of Judah received a letter from Elijah, 2 Chronicles 21:12. The letter makes reference to the king's murder of his brothers, verse 13, showing that it was written after that event. And, putting the chronology together, this was more than 4 years after Elijah's ascension. Thus, Elijah was still alive more than 4 years after he was taken up by the fiery chariot in the whirlwind, living somewhere here on earth. His ascension, then, must have only been into the first heaven, the sky, and it should be clear that he did not die when he ascended. Rather, God transported him to another place on the earth where he lived out the rest of his days. The Bible doesn't say why God decided to make such a change at this point. Elisha succeeds Elijah. Elisha became Elijah's successor, symbolized by the passing of the mantle, 2 Kings 2:13-14. And confirmed by the double portion of the power that God gave him through his spirit, enabling him to perform mighty miracles, such as healing poisonous waters, verses 19-22. It should be noted that the concept of a double portion in scripture normally denoted a birthright inheritance of the firstborn son in a family. In that usage, it did not mean twice as much as the father had but, rather, twice as much as the other sons received from the father. It appears that Elisha's request was similar. If this is the case, then Elisha, understanding that the portion of spiritual power that Elijah had from God would be divided out to the sons of the prophets, was asking for twice as much as what they would receive rather than twice as much as what Elijah had. In any case, this was not a selfish request. Elisha had already been anointed to succeed Elijah, and he knew that he would need more of God's help than anyone if he were to remotely fill Elijah's shoes. The account ends with Elisha departing and being mocked by a sizable group of young people. The Hebrew here can mean children, teenagers or young adults in their early 20s. Judging by Elisha's response, they were certainly old enough to know better and to be held accountable for their actions, implying they likely were teens or young adults. Their taunt, in modern parlance, would essentially be, "Go up in the air, baldy." Thus, they mocked his report of Elijah's ascension, and they made fun of him for his baldness. Elisha cursed them for their disbelief and flagrant disrespect for God's prophet, actually disrespect for God, and God backed up Elisha by sending the bears. Note that it does not say the youths who suffered attack were killed, just that they were mauled by the bears, verse 24, the Hebrew here allowing for a wide range of injury. The widow's oil, childless woman and other miracles as we already saw, God, who had given Elisha a double portion of the spiritual power that Elijah had had, empowered Elisha thereby to perform miracles, and mighty miracles they were. A widow, believing that God would do what Elisha had announced, received supernaturally so much oil that she could sell it and pay off all her debts with the money and still live off the rest. Verses 17. Elisha also prophesied accurately to a Shunammite woman who had shown kindness to him, but who was without child, that she would have a child within a year. Verses 8-17. We are reminded of God's promise to Sarah that she would have a child, too, within a year. Compare Genesis 18:10-14, Genesis 21:1-2. In reading the entire story of Elisha's friendship with the woman at Shunem, we are also reminded of his predecessor, Elijah, who had a rather similar friendship with the widow of Zarephath. Compare 1 Kings 17:8-16. The parallel will become even more apparent in a later reading. Elisha caused a stew of poisonous wild gourds to be transformed into healthy food. 2 Kings 4:38-41. And he fed 100 people with 20 loaves of barley bread and some grain. Verses 42-44. This last incident reminds us of Christ's miracle centuries later, when he fed masses of people with a few loaves of bread and some fishes. In both instances, the source of miracle working power was the same, the Spirit of God. In fact, both Christ, while here on earth as a human being, and Elisha had those powers only because God's Spirit was working in and through them. While a man, Christ himself said that he of himself could do nothing, John 5:30, i.e., nothing supernatural on his own. He needed the power of the Father, John 14:10. Peter later testified that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, Acts 10:38. Raising the dead. There are only a few episodes in the Old Testament wherein a dead person is brought back to life. Elijah had raised the son of the widow of Zarephath. And now we see Elisha performing a like miracle for one with whom he had a friendship similar to the one Elijah had with the Zarephathite widow. The Shunammite woman's son, who had been miraculously conceived, suddenly died of an unexplained cause. The mother traveled to Elisha and begged him to accompany her to her dead son, obviously fully believing that Elisha could bring him back to life. Elisha prayed to God and then established personal contact with the child twice, until the child awoke, 2 Kings 4:33-35. We find that Christ often would touch people when he healed or resurrected them. See Luke 8:54-55, and his ministry is instructed to anoint a sick person with oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, James 5:14, and to lay their hands on the head of a sick person, Mark 16:18. This signifies the power of the Holy Spirit flowing from God through the agency of his human representative into the sick person to heal, again establishing the important truth that God alone, through his Spirit, has the power and ability to perform right and profitable miracles. Also, God shows who his human representatives are by working through them. And the whole process of going to God's ordained servants for anointing helps strengthen the bonds his people have with these representatives and with God himself. Blessed again later, in 2 Kings 8, the Shunammite woman follows Elisha's instruction to leave Israel during a famine. This section appears to fall here sequentially since Gehazi is still in Elisha's service. In the next reading, though an earlier chapter than 8, it appears that Gehazi departs from Elisha's presence. Upon the Shunammite woman's return, all her property is restored to her, and all the proceeds from her field are given to her as well. Thus, she was again blessed for following the instructions of God's prophet. End.